QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, an offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. And nothing heard. Are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, nothing major here on the announcement side. Repeater condition still exists, and we're looking for some changes in that as the weather gets a little bit on the warmer side, so let's see what happens. Topic for this evening is out of February QST, page 65, from Steve Ford, who has the Electric Technology column month to month, and this is about watching meteors and actually using meteor scatter ionization to do some DX stuff. That'll be generally on the 6 meter band. All right, before we get started there, let's do our roster, starting with WB6CLZ, Mike.
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is WB6CLZ. Great to be back here on the repeater. We're up here at Irwin Lake. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good to hear you out there, Mike, and hopefully you'll be able to pick it up with Placentia here pretty quick. How about Cindy? Is she out there this evening? WB6CIN.
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
Hey, you guys tossed that radio back and forth pretty good. Anyway, glad to have you both up here, and good to hear you out there this evening. All right. How about KA6CIA, George? And nothing heard there. Let's see here. How about KI6SKN, Chris? Yeah, sometimes he's out there, sometimes he's not. How about KJ6HCS, Mike? He's out there stoking the fire, probably. How about WA6IATC, Rod?
Yep, Lake Williams is alive and well. WA6IATC.
Good evening, Rod. Glad to have you out there. Boy, last I just looked at the thermometer, was 38. Big change. That's 18 and 38. Just 20 degrees, what, a couple days. Wow. All right, let's see. Next I have here is KJ6FIL. Mike, can you get us down there in Redwoods?
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
And good evening, Mike from Redwoods. Glad to have you out there. Next, I have KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary.
KJ6KDL here with
KJ6KDK.
And KF6Q with Tech Tuesday Net every Tuesday that we can. Well, thanks for being out there, Jim and Rosemary, and joining us this evening. Moving down here, let's see. How about KI6IQA Kelly?
Good evening, KI6IQA.
Good evening there, Kelly. Glad to have you out there, and appreciate you checking in with us this evening. Next, I have K9AOG. Steve, are you out there from Long Beach? Steve. How about Ron? Let's see if he can hear us from Green Valley. K6GVL, Ron.
Good evening, Tom and Lynette. This is Ron, K6GVL from Torrance.
Well, Ron, you didn't have to just move down to Torrance just so you couldn't, because you couldn't hear us from Green Valley. Anyway, well, you're solid from Torrance. So I can tell you that. So, and glad to have you out there this evening. Next, I have AD6PL, Harold from Riverside.
Evening, AD6PL.
And good evening, Harold. Glad to have you out there. Let's see if we got Quint out there. I don't know. K6LCS, Quint, Harupa Valley. And I don't hear Quint out there. Dave and Sugarloaf.
KJ6PYV checking in from Sugarloaf. Good evening, Tom and Annette.
Well, good evening there, Dave. Thanks for being out there and checking in with us this evening. I have W6JLM and W6KMM, but I'm pretty sure they're off the hill. Had to make an emergency trip down there for her sister, Santa Ana, so hopefully she's doing okay. Next I have on here, and I heard him. I don't know if you're still out there, Chris. K6YNW, Chris. I can't hear Chris out there. How about W6POO, Chip? And as I heard, how about KD6LN Bill, but I think he's out close to the state line.
W6POO, and we're on Echo Lake. Good evening, Tom.
Well, good evening there, Chip. Appreciate you checking in via Echo Link. And I did hear Chris, K6YNW, and I know he's in the low desert too, but it was probably about 15, 20 minutes ago. I don't know if he can hear us. Anyway, glad to have you out there, Chip. Next, I have WA6DLB, Donna. And nothing heard. Let's see, KJ6QYN Shelley taking care of some people that had some medical problems, so he's not going to be with us for a few weeks here. So, but we'll be glad to hear him when he gets back. Let's see, I have next NQ7RD, Rick. And nothing heard from Rick. How about Ron, WA6HF? And I've heard from Ron. How about Alan? I think it's K2BBL, I hope.
K2BBL, Alan checking in from Moon Ridge.
Well, good evening there, Alan. Glad to have you out there, and I got your name here on the list, and good to hear you out there this evening. Next I have, and I know some of these people are probably out of the range right now, the repeater, but we'll give them a shot. AE6CK, Victor. And I don't think he'd hear us, but how about K6ROD, Rod, but I think he's in Arizona. And nothing heard there. How about KB6LTY, Christy, Apple Valley. And nothing heard. How about W6JET, Rob. And nothing heard from Rob. How about KJ6RAY? Ray, are you out there this evening? All right. Well, some of these people tend to join us as we move through the evening. Anyway, anybody else out there that I've missed or would like to check in as a guest? And I'll try to recompile a new list here. Anybody out there, please come back to KF6Q.
W6KMM.
W6KMM, Kenneth, didn't think you were back. Glad to have you out there. Is that from, are you from Sugarloaf?
We are from Sugarloaf and check in W6JLM.
Well, good deal. Got you both checked in here. All right. And expect to see you after dark 30 there. It was actually dark when I left next door. Glad to have you out there. Anybody else out there would like to check in as a guest? All right. Well, I think that does it for the short list for this evening. Well, anyway, Mike, not sure if you had any chance to even check out Space Weather. If you have, great. Give us a report. If not, we'll move ahead. Over to Mike, WB6CLZ, KF6Q, and the group.
Yes, we did, Tom. Not great conditions right now. Space Weather's reporting a sunspot number of 52 and a solar flux index of 98 solar flux units. But last weekend, 10 meters was hopping. Started out in the morning, about 7, 8 o'clock, Canary Islands, with good 5x9 signals on each. He gave me 5x9 and I gave him, and it was a real 5x9, I made sure of that. Worked Central America later on in the day, both coasts of South America, and also several Pacific islands, so pretty darn good. And also Chip and I have information. We've been playing a little CW and taking it to a new level, so maybe we can talk about that too if you want to give us the time.
Well, I think right now it'd be good if you want to interject that. That sounds like a pretty good update, and I know you've been going back and forth for that when you can, so yeah, go ahead. And I think he's out there on Echo Link, and if he wants to join in, just we'll leave him a little space there. So go ahead, Mike, KF6Q.
Okie, Tom. Well, as many of you will remember, I put it out that I was willing to help anybody learn or practice or, you know, get their CW speed up or whatever, just gab. And Chip took me up on it. We've been playing for probably a month now, and we have done 40 meters quite a bit. 40 meters seems to work for us on the path from Placentia or Big Bear to Palm Springs, where his QTH is. And so we have had some really bad conditions on 40 meters as of late. So I don't know if anybody remembers, but we went to the landline, and used our rigs for CPOs, for code practice oscillators. I'm going to reset. When conditions were bad, we used the landline. Put the squawk box on our phones and went to it. Kind of cool, and I could interject a little abbreviation or something now and then, and that way Chip can learn the abbreviations and actually do some really cool CW QSOs. But we've taken it to another level, and I'll reset and give that in a second. Have that ID. Anyway, so we have taken it to where now we're using Echolink, point to point. And if anybody has used Echolink, you just go up to the top toolbar, and there's a pair of binoculars. Well, you click on the binoculars, and then I type in Chip's call sign, or vice versa, he can type in mine, and toggle your bar, transmit, and are you there? Bam, comes right back. Well, we've been using that for CW. We have a 3-minute timeout on it, so it's kind of cumbersome, but I need to look into the Echolink toolbar and see if I can lengthen that out. But maybe Chip would like to say something about that. It's really kind of cool. So we use any form of communications we can to get the job done. Back over to you, Tom.
Well, that's pretty cool. And it's, like you say, even when conditions don't permit, you're sticking with it, or he is. I know that you've done a lot of code over the years. And that's pretty good. Well, let's hand it over to Chip. Chip, you want to give us your side of the story? And we got you out there on Echolink, so Chip, how's that working out for you? KO6Q to Chip, W6POO.
This is W6POO Echolink, to Tech Tuesday and the group.
It works out very, very well. The good news in doing Morse code this way is having a live mic by an oscillator. And Mike, when he's sending, if he's going to send an abbreviation, he'll go ahead and send it, and then he'll tell me what that is. Like, so the abbreviation for weather is WX, or for the word for, F-O-R, is the old hillbilly, fur, F-E-R. The whole point is to lessen the amount of time that you, you're actually sending characters. And the beauty of it is that there's no QRM, there's no interference, there's no fading of the signal, and so it's really good for clarity, and it's really good for hearing the Elmer, the instructor, to kind of guide along, and it's really working out really well. So it's I'm happy we came up with the idea. W6TOO, back to Tom and the group.
Well, good deal there, Chip, and glad that's working out. And, of course, if anybody wants to join in with that, I know Rick wanted to, but I think Rick's been probably tied up for a while. We haven't heard him out there for some, you know, a couple weeks here now. But that could be just conditions with the repeater, so you might have some issues with that. Well, good deal, and just a little to add to Mike's report there. Mike, Canary Islands, man, that's right off the coast of Africa, right where I think it's Morocco and West Sahara kind of, you know, come together there, right off the coast there, not very far. So that's a pretty good hop, pretty good hop. Well, anyway, anybody else out there with anything to add about the DX propagation we've had over the last week or so? Please come back. And anything else to add about if you're interested with CW, come on in and we'll get you set up there and you can start practicing. Anyway, anybody else with DX or CW, please come back. All right, well, Mike, I think we got that covered. Now, this week's article, Watching Meteors, pretty cool. Read through this whole thing. One-page article, and Steve Ford, WB8IMY, he does an article, actually a column every month in QST, and Eclectic, I'll get that right, Eclectic Technology. And so he kind of like gets involved with just about everything. But anyway, pretty cool. Meteors. We're talking about meteors, and Mike, you know, we all know we have meteor showers certain times of the year, but he's pointing out something here that's pretty cool, is that actually meteors happen all the time. They ionize the air all the time. So does that mean that's open for me just about any time, almost? Back to you, Mike.
Yeah, Tom, according to Steve, any time is good. I mean, everybody knows about the Geminides and the Perseids and, you know, all of the standard run-of-the-mill meteor showers that we play with. But with some new technology, we can kind of get a handle on all the time being able to use meteors and their ionized trails to make communications. And mostly on the frequency 28 to 150 megahertz, which is kind of cool because people with technician licenses can get involved in that too. So it's not just an advanced license thing. It's anybody, and that's really cool. You can really work DX pretty far away. I mean, 1,500 miles is not uncommon with meteor scatter. So very interesting, very cool. Back to you, Tom.
Well, yeah, that is pretty cool too. And I know that if you're out there and you actually are tuning around the 6 meter band or above it or below it or in that area, occasionally you'll hear something out there, and that's probably bouncing off some scatter ionization, and that's pretty cool too. What happens is basically when the meteors, and they could be just dust. Doesn't have to be something huge. It could be anything. And there's particles coming in all the time. And you may see it at night. During the daytime, you probably don't see it unless it's really something huge. And then if it's too huge, it doesn't matter. anymore. But anyway, well, we don't want to go there. Anyway, but with all that, as they come through the air and they vaporize, they ionize all this air, and it's a great, great thing for radio waves to bounce off of. And because they're so high up, it's a great target. So if you can aim at it, great. Otherwise, kind of a neat way of working, you know, DX. Let me reset. And like I said, Mike, it pretty much is from 28, which is around the 10-meter band, all the way up to 150 megahertz, which is the 2-meter band. So all the way in between there. But basically, we have the 2-meter and the 6-meter, because we don't have anything in between there. So that's the way it is. Anyway, well, pretty cool. And Mike, I guess that could be out there with just their carriers. They're digital, but you might hear some noise from them also in that range, because they're still out there. They're not now over-the-air digital, but so that's kind of cool. I don't know if we're going to probably pick up anything. Anyway, and then, Mike, did you look at there? He's got some Windows software for kind of tracking this stuff. You want to go ahead and explain to us what that's all about?
One of the prominent ones is called the Radio Sky Pipe. And what you can do is you can monitor the TV stations. I have looked at it, but it's been so long, I don't really remember what frequencies, but I think you can tune it. And I also think that you can pick up various channels and lock it on and tune it to one that you would be listening for. And it's like a strip chart. It uses your sound card in your computer. And it will actually store the blips, the whatever you call it, the chirps or that come out of the signals, and you can play it back at your leisure. I think you can adjust the speed on the chart. You can adjust everything. So actually record quite long sessions with this, and really kind of cool. It says even hours of monitoring. So yeah, it is fully adjustable. So very cool. And you get it; it's freeware, no charge. But if you want to use the full featured pro version, which I'm not sure what the difference is, I should have Googled that and got a little more information. But anybody with computer access can do that. Just radiosky.com, and you'll get all of the information there. Back to you, Tom.
Hey, KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Well, that's pretty cool, Mike. And yeah, I think like anything else there, I looking at the end of the article here, WSJT is, I don't know if that's another site or software by Joe Taylor, K1JT. But anyway, I think we actually talked about him for one evening, and he's got some other cool stuff out there. Well, pretty neat. Since we do have a few moments this evening, we'll get into a couple little things here I've been looking at. But anyway, anybody else out there, any questions on Meteor Scatter, please come back to KF6Q and WB6CLZ and the group.
I see another little bit here.
Ah, go ahead.
See here that he is, his station is in an active air corridor, like we are. We're not too far away from the east-west corridor for LAX. If everybody looks out to the north, they'll see the planes coming in and dropping down into LAX. For high-flying planes, though, a little higher, he says he uses the reflections from high-flying aircraft. That's pretty interesting, too. Never thought of that. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, you just got to be careful just about how much power you beam at that point. You might get yourself in a lot of trouble. Anyway, well, that's pretty cool. A couple other things. Didn't really catch this on the announcements, but the ARRL has petitioned for getting us some more frequencies, if you caught that, Mike. Below the AM band, medium frequency, and this has actually been ongoing, started back, I believe, in November. So And I guess there's even one below the, that's what is it, 472 or something in that area, and even one below that. Mike, have you been keeping track of that at all? Have you seen that?
I have seen it. I haven't paid that much attention. I'm really not a low freak guy. I don't have the real estate for it. But it looks like 415 to 526 kilohertz and 472 to 479 kilohertz. Pretty cool. And I know that, I don't know if it's in the United States, but they're talking 135.7 and 137.8 kilohertz. So, yeah, that's below the 160 meter band. To have proper antennas for that band, you need some real estate. But there's ways to get around it, my friend, as we all know. But very low power this time, they're talking about. But, yeah, very cool. Anybody wants to check that out, it's on page 9 of the February QSD. Back to you, Tom.
And also, there's a neat briefing on page 9, which I read. I have not read this other one, which starts on page 82. And this is about, this is about 4 pages long or more here. Yeah, it's good 4 pages of stuff here, but I'm not sure if it's all about that. Excuse me. Anyway, so, and it does bring up those other frequencies, too. Anyway, anybody, any questions about the new bands before we come? One more thing here. Please come back to KF6Q and WB6CLZ. Anyway, so just wanted to let everybody know we had a successful new technician test last Sunday. We do that 1 month testing up here every last Sunday of the month, unless it's blizzarding or so, and this gentleman is actually a troop leader with the Boy Scouts up here. And Chip, if you're still out there, do you remember a Mr. Moran? Does that ring a bell? I'll leave some space for you, Chip.
Yes, Gary Moran. I was speaking about him today at lunch. I was with Glenn Morrison this afternoon. We were working on, he was working on, I was watching and learning, my old 520 Sierra, my Kenwood 520 Sierra. And anyway, yes, Gary Moran, W6RAG. That's his call letters. He lives in Hollister. He's still on the air. We talked on 40 meters, gosh, about 6 months ago. What about Gary?
Well, Steve, and of course he doesn't have a call sign yet. He just took the test and passed his tech Sunday. Actually was there at the school, I believe, as a student, and this is going back in 75, 76. And, of course, I think you were gone by then. And he said that Gary Moran promised him a radio if he would get his license. And I think the promise was way back in the 70s, and he just got his license, and he's going to make him stick to that, or at least try to. So, anyway, that could be very, very interesting. And let me reset here real quick. The other good news is that he has a huge group with the Boy Scouts that, of course, they get a merit badge for doing the radio thing. And besides that, he's got quite a few interested in ham radio itself. So it's kind of neat to see some youngsters out there in that. And I told him we would support him as much as we could, give some demonstrations, whatever we can do to help. So pretty neat. So we might have some new Boy Scouts out there on the radio here pretty quick. Reset one more time. Well, anyway, Chip. So anyway, I'm not sure if Gary Moran knows he's going to be held to that promise. But it's interesting to see how one man in that era with you and a couple others has spanned that and up here. And just even if it took some time, eventually it came too. So I'll hand it back over to you, Chip, real quick.
That's great.
Steve, congratulations. a few years later, tell me it was just a few years later. He can log into QRZ.com and put in the call letters Whiskey 6 Radio Alpha Georgia, W6 RAG, and he'll find Gary's address, and he can write them. Or I think he can, he does Skype as well. Of course, Skype, you have to have some kind of a prearrangement or something. But he's living back in Hollister, the city of Hollister, where actually he was originally from. So he'll be able to find Moran up in the Hollister area, but you can find him on QRZ.com. That's really cool. I'll look forward to hearing what kind of radio he holds him to. Back to you in the group.
Okay, Chip. Yeah, good deal there. And, I just want to, before we get towards the end here of Tech Tuesday this evening, I think it's QST February issue 2013. Incredible stuff here. Azores. Got a good DX thing going there coming up, or in play, or whatever. Good article, anyway. A lot of cool stuff here. Really good. This is probably one of their best issues here. So, besides, they've been doing quite a few articles, just for those of you who do not get this. And if you don't, it means you don't belong to the ARRL, and you need to join through the club, through the Big Bear Image Radio Club. We'll get you all set up. Anyway, a lot of stuff about Hurricane Sandy and how amateurs helped out with that, that event and disaster. And it's just, we know it's always going to happen again, as it's happened in the past. So, kind of neat. Whole different division of amateur radio is being disaster-oriented and prepared. So, anyway, well, Mike, anything further to add as we get close to closing Tech Tuesday?
Tom, I think one of these days, too, there's a real, if anybody's interested, there's a really good one about amateur radio science on page 77, and how you can help move science ahead a little bit with nuclear fusion and particle physics. Wow, pretty high up there. Anyway, back to you, Tom.
Well, the interesting thing, Mike, with technology moving ahead in all different directions, in all different fields, but especially in electronics and things of that nature. And of course, radio that we're talking on, this is all part of a much bigger field of electronics. And with that, some of the devices and the technologies that just seem to transpire over time, a short time, incredible things that we can do, higher frequencies, into the 24 gigahertz, 100 gigahertz. I mean, it's like, wow. We're not talking about hard drives and computers here. We're talking about frequencies that are just so incredibly high, and we've never really had a lot to be able to touch these before. And they're getting more and more, or getting closer. I don't know about the 100 gigahertz, but the 24 gigahertz and 10 gigahertz, really coming into play here, and a lot more that we're going to be able to do. VHF, UHF used to be out of bounds for a lot of stuff, so pretty cool, Mike, pretty cool. Anybody else out there, anything to add or any questions before we close Tech Tuesday from KF6Q in the group?
Got one more to add. I'm hot today.
Well, if you're hot, this is the place to come, because it hasn't been hot up here. Go ahead, Mike.
In that article, I'm sure everybody knows what a tokamak is, but they talk about that. It's a toroidal apparatus for producing controlled fusion reaction in hot plasma. I just had to go there. That's really cool. Okay, back to you, Tom.
Everybody knows that. Yes, we all. Mike, I think you've just spent the last 5 minutes trying to get those pronunciations right there. That's what you've been doing there. Well, no, that's pretty cool. Yes, we all, of course, we all have taken nuclear fusion particle physics stuff. Anyway, well, that's cool. Good stuff. DC to daylight. Very old term here, and they're pretty neat one-page articles just showing how things are working. Anyway, well, good deal. Lot more stuff, good stuff coming up this year. So anyway, hope you'll join us if, you know, every Tuesday. We're going to try to be out here, try to get more stuff in front so we have all these cool things to talk about. Well, Mike, glad to have you with us, and we'll get ready to close the net. So QST, QST, QST. Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. We'll be closing the net this evening at 1900 hours, 35 minutes. I want to thank you, Mike, for helping me out with this. Chip, good to hear you out there on Echolink. Everybody else out there, glad to have you with us. And like I said, there's always cool stuff out there. Try to keep stuff out of QST Magazine. So if you get out there, join the ARL and pick this thing up. It'll come once a month to your QTH, also known as your house. Anyway, y'all take care, and we'll return the repeater back to normal use. This is KF6Q.